Welcome to the Medicine Grand Rounders podcast. My name is Dick Wardrop, and I'm a MedPeds clinician educator, program director, and hospitalist at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. We are so proud to host another great episode of our podcast intentionally titled to give you all that you may expect out of a high-quality, evidence-based Medicine Grand Rounds right at your fingertips and right in your ears. Our program is funded by a grant from the Cleveland Clinic Education Institute, but the views expressed herein are not necessarily the views of Cleveland Clinic. The format of our production is very simple. We host world-class clinical experts in a variety of specialties related to internal medicine and put forth important and high-impact clinical questions related to the practice of general medicine with intended impact for providers at all levels of medicine, including students, APPs, generalists, and seasoned veterans. Today's topic, migraine headache. Today, we have a wonderful episode planned. We are honored to have with us Ms. Maeve Pesco, a rising star in the field of neurology, and MS5 at Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine, who is also bound for neurology residency at the University of Michigan. Congratulations. With her today is our esteemed colleague in medical education and a world's expert in migraine care, Dr. Marianne Mays. Dr. Mays is a beloved member of our teaching faculty in the Neurological Institute, former program director of the neurology residency program, and now vice chair for education in the Neurological Institute of Cleveland Clinic. Thank you both for working on today's show and for being here with us. To our honored guests, please take a moment to say hi, tell us about yourselves, and start right in on the questions.
Well, hi. Well, thank you for having me. I'm Marianne Mays. I'm a staff neurologist at the Headache and Facial Pain Center in the Center for Neurologic Restoration and the Neurologic Institute. I've actually been here for 30 years. I'm also a founding member of the Great Lakes Regional Headache Society, and I love promoting advocacy for migraine patients. The Cleveland Clinic partners with Miles for Migraine in hosting our annual walk, run, and relax event every July. Thank you again for having me.
Hello, and thank you for having us on the podcast. As Dr. Wardrop mentioned, my name is Maeve Pesco, and I'm a medical student and clinical researcher at the Cleveland Clinic and National Institutes of Health, and I'm heading to Michigan for my neurology residency. I'm excited to be in conversation today with Dr. Wardrop and our headache expert, Dr. Mays. Thank you again.
Dr. Mays, I'll ask the first question if that's okay. I was fascinated and entranced with your recent grand rounds at Cleveland Clinic about migraine care because it was a particularly fantastic update. But for those of us that weren't there, you also gave a great overview of migraines in general. And if you could just tell me, what distinguishes migraine headaches? And how often do patients see primary care providers for migraine headaches?
Well, thank you. Migraine headaches are characterized by severe, recurring head pain lasting 4 to 72 hours with 3 to 4 different stages accompanied by different symptoms. About 10% of primary care visits are for migraine, making them a prevalent concern for primary care providers, who are often the first point of contact for patients experiencing migraine headaches.
Dr. Mays, what are the distinctive features of migraine headache and what signs indicate that your patient may be experiencing one?
That's a good question. I utilize the International Classification of Headache Disorders, or the ICHD-3, diagnostic criteria for episodic migraine, which includes specific characteristics such as a unilateral pulsating pain of moderate to severe intensity, often accompanied by photophobia, nausea, and vomiting. Additionally, up to 30% of patients may experience an aura, typically comprising visual disturbances. Some patients may experience chronic migraine, which is characterized by a headache of 15 or more days per month for at least 3 months, for which the features of migraine have to occur on at least 8 days per month.
So you mentioned migraine phases. What are the phases of a migraine and what symptoms may arise in each phase?
Migraine headaches typically occur in 4 phases: the prodrome, aura, headache, and postdrome, although not everyone experiences each phase. The prodrome may manifest as fatigue, difficulty with concentration, neck stiffness, and sensitivity, often preceding the migraine attack by hours or days. The aura phase involves reversible neurologic symptoms, with visual disturbances being most common. These may last up to an hour. The headache phase, marked by intense pain, may last several days if left untreated. Finally, the postdrome phase, or post-headache phase, which is also known by patients as the migraine hangover, may persist up to 48 hours, characterized by irritability, cognitive impairment, and fatigue.
One of our specific members of the audience could be those in training, including students, residents, and early career physicians who have just left training. And oftentimes, if you haven't seen a lot of migraine headaches in your medicine or family medicine training, it may be difficult to distinguish this from other causes of headache. What would your typical differential diagnosis be for a migraine headache, and how would you differentiate that between these and other types of headaches?
Well, typically, the most common differential diagnosis includes tension-type headaches, cluster headaches, hemicrania continua, new daily persistent headache, and medication overuse headache. These are the primary differentials. Distinguishing features to help the clinician includes the bilateral pain and pressure for tension-type headaches, excruciating unilateral pain with autonomic symptoms for cluster headaches, and continuous unilateral pain with autonomic symptoms responsive to indomethacin for those hemicrania continua. If a patient experiences a daily headache and can pinpoint the exact onset of date, it raises the suspicion for new daily persistent headache. It's very crucial to remain vigilant for red flags, which would indicate a secondary headache, such as those that are sudden in onset, associated with neurologic deficits, or systemic symptoms. Positional headaches accompanied by pulsatile tinnitus may suggest other etiologies, such as spontaneous intracranial hypotension, or if associated with visual alterations, idiopathic intracranial hypertension. Medication overuse headache should be suspected if the patient is taking abortive medications such as over-the-counter analgesics or triptans more than 10 days a month and are experiencing a daily headache.
So for learners such as myself, I find it useful to apply these principles to a case presentation. So in this case, we have a patient, a 41-year-old female with no significant past medical history, aside from occasional debilitating headaches during times where she is stressed or gets little sleep. They typically occur 1 to 2 times a month. These are characterized by flashes of light in her vision, followed by a throbbing pain over the right side of her head and nausea for several hours, and a subsequent period of fatigue. The headache does not worsen with positional adjustment and gets better with rest and time. NSAID analgesics are not very effective, so the patient does not take them often. Her only other medication use is oral contraceptive pills, or OCPs. What aspects of her presentation make you concerned for migraine headache, and how would you screen her for migraine?
We typically use the validated ID migraine screener to assess for migraine, consisting of questions regarding concomitant nausea, photophobia, and incapacity complete daily activities during headache attacks. If a patient has at least 2 of those 3 symptoms, they are likely to have migraine, with a positive predictive value of 93% in the primary care setting. This patient doesn't have photophobia, but she does have nausea and debilitation from her headaches, so she would screen positively for migraine. The other supporting features of migraine are her visual auras with flashing lights and unilateral pain with throbbing quality.
Dr. Bays, thank you for that. I can remember first learning about migraine pathophysiology in medical school, and a lot has changed since that time. However, the description of aura, having never experienced it myself, still seems fascinating to me as a physician. How and why do auras occur, and are there any special considerations for primary care providers that they should be aware of?
We are learning a lot about migraine pathophysiology. Migraine auras are attributed to cortical spreading depression, which involves a wave of neuronal depolarization followed by suppression. However, cortical spreading depression occurs in migraine without aura, and so it may be that some individuals who experience aura, it's due to underlying genetic predisposition. While auras are typically not in of themselves harmful, individuals with migraine with aura do have a slightly higher risk of stroke than the population. And that risk may increase with the use of oral estrogen-containing contraceptives. So for women who need and want contraceptive options, such as this patient, a copper IUD or progesterone-only options like the progestin implant, injectable, or pill may be safer alternatives. But is a discussion with the patient, and if this patient opts for estrogen-containing estrogen contraceptive for pregnancy or medical purposes such as endometriosis, it's advisable to choose a formulation containing less than 30 micrograms of estrogen.
Based on what you've seen in your practice and the literature, what strategies for migraine treatment exist, and what would you recommend for this patient?
Well, that's a good question. Certainly, general strategies always must include lifestyle management, which includes avoidance of headache triggers such as certain food, stress reduction, and maintaining a regular sleep and routine schedule. And then there's also the acute, preemptive, preventative, and rescue treatments that are necessary in treating patients. Acute treatments, which aim to stop the headache symptoms and progression, and typically include nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, as well as triptans, antiemetics, ergotamines, calcitonin gene-related peptide antagonists, what are referred to as GPANs, and also selective serotonin 1F receptor agonists, or DTANs. Preventative or prophylactic therapies include antihypertensives such as the beta blockers, angiotensin receptor blockers, calcium channel blockers, antidepressants, both tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, and anticonvulsants. These medications are indicated for patients with frequent, long-standing, or disabling migraines, or if acute therapies are contraindicated. Onobotulinum toxin is also used for those with chronic migraine. Medications targeting calcitonin gene-related peptide, or CGRP, are newer and designed specifically to prevent migraine. Examples include self-administered formulations like orenumab, femunizumab, and galcanizumab, as well as the intravenous formulation of denizumab. Additionally, oral agents like atogepant and rimegepant are used for migraine prevention and are taken daily or every other day. The American Headache Society advocates for CGRP targeting therapies as first-line approach for migraine prevention, regardless of prior treatment outcomes, as outlined in the recent publication consensus statement published in Headache. This is based upon the excellent efficacy and safety profile of these CGRP-targeted therapies.
That was an excellent summary. Thank you so much. Now, looking towards the future, what migraine treatment research is currently being done, and what treatments can we expect on the horizon?
Well, great question. And we're very excited that there's a number of new pharmacotherapies in trials right now, including agents that act on metabolic receptors, intracellular targets, and ion channel. For example, pituitary adenylate cyclase activating polypeptide, or PUCAP, has just gone through phase 2 trials showing a significant reduction in headache days per month and will likely be the next drug on the market. Additionally, currently available devices for neuromodulation are showing promising data with 2-hour migraine acute pain relief in up to 67% of individuals, as well as preventative relief when used on a regular basis and comparable to other preventative therapies.
Thank you so much. So, as a wrap-up, ultimately, our patient has migraine headache with aura, and interventions such as sleep hygiene improvement alongside pharmacotherapies such as triptans or GPANs would be recommended. In the future, with ongoing research for new targets for migraine treatment, we might be able to offer additional solutions in the form of drugs or devices to provide further relief and potential for migraine freedom.
Dr. Mays and Maeve, thank you very much. Thank you for sharing your expertise. And Dr. Mays, if you could you please share 3 to 5 of your best takeaways for our audience, especially for those in training, like students or residents?
Well, thank you again for having me. It's been great fun. I think great takeaways to think about is that remember that most patients with migraine are going to seek help from their primary care clinician to both diagnose their headache disorder and provide them with an appropriate therapy. If you use the ICHD-3 criteria or the ID migraine screening tool, this in looking for combinations with red flags in the history can help you really easily distinguish primary headaches from those secondary headaches. Remember that migraine has 3 to 4 phases with various symptoms that can be as debilitating as the migraine pain itself. In addition to promoting the healthy lifestyle strategies, clinicians should choose the most appropriate and specific migraine therapies, such as the triptans, GPANs, and DTANs, to give their patients the quickest relief. For patients with frequent or disabling headaches, in addition to the previous traditional preventative therapies, the CGRP-targeted therapies are now considered first-line treatment options for patients. So lots of great options out there for patients now, but we are always looking for something new in the future.
Outstanding. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into this important area that has us explore migraine care in the primary care setting. We hope that you found this episode both educational and engaging. On behalf of the team, thank you to our special guests, Dr. Mays and Ms. Pasco, and of course to our co-founding podcaster, Dr. Arjun Chatterjee, who cannot be with us today. I certainly enjoyed this time with our guests and imagine that many of our listeners will find this information illuminating and essential in their practice. Thank you also again to the Cleveland Clinic Education Institute for the educational support of this project. Until next time, please enjoy this and future podcasts from the Cleveland Clinic Medicine Grand Rounders.